I don't know what it was about that interview, but...
We have a lot of plans for the future now because...
Yeah, I'm moving in with that guy, and my husband's just going to have to get over it. He's either coming or he's not. I don't know. I'm moving to Norway or wherever the hell he is.
Just sell your husband on the goats.
Yeah, I mean, he's sold. He's sold. It's fine. It'll work out.
Yeah, I know because of conversations that, you know, the dog can't come in the bedroom, but goats. Baby goats.
Welcome to Bitch Talk. I'm your host, Erin, here with my co-host, Ange, aka Captain Party. And over the last 10 years, we've been elevating marginalized voices through interviews and events.
Sometimes over a glass of whiskey. If you're thirsty for more bitches, head over to bitchtalkpodcast.com and follow us on Instagram.
A big thank you to 48 Hills and our listeners for voting us Best of the Bay Best Podcast in 2022 and 2023.
And now, on with the show. Rolling.
All right. We're ready? I guess so. Okay. Hey,
I told you I was rolling. Yes, we're rolling. I'm rolling.
I'm sorry, everyone. I think we're just going to keep that intro because I think we're a little excited. Exhausted. Excited by our exhaustion. No. Go ahead, Ange. What?
No, I said rolling. And then you're like, are we ready? Like, yeah, rolling.
We're losing our shit, you guys. Hey, we just wrapped up 25 interviews. We're here at Sundance Slam Dance. We're in Park City. It's beautiful out. We're here with our friend John Wildman. Wow, I'm feeling a little weepy. Anyways, that went fast. I'm sad, even though it's been a whole month of anxiety leading up to Sundance Slam
Dance. The funny thing is it did... kind of go fast, but also we took our time and moved real slow this year.
Yeah.
This is the calmest we've ever been.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. It's funny because in the past we've had production situations where we've had, while we've been sitting around the table, somebody else has been yelling at people, get in the door, close the door, get in, do this. And it's been kind of weird in that way. That was not our situation here. And the other thing that I really loved about our interviews this time around is that there was just a lot of fun. We had some moments that kind of went off the rails in the best way.
What are you talking about, John?
I have no idea. But anybody listening to this now has to listen because, trust me, there's going to be some moments.
Yeah.
And I think I was telling Erin this a couple days ago. I feel like the three of us are just, every year we get more comfortable with each other. And this year there wasn't any frantic, like, am I turn, your turn? Like, we just kind of flowed a lot smoother and we're lot more comfortable with each other, so those R-rated moments are become okay. Now maybe that sounded wrong.
Which part?
Well, talking about queefing.
Oh, and queef or bequeath
or pussy juice or whatever.
Oh well, yeah, that was poor John. I'm so sorry, John, but I'm not, because you know what? Who cares anymore, right?
Well the other
the
fun
end of the times. World's ending.
But the other funny thing, and you know, on the Films Gone Wild stuff, people see the our guests talking on video, but for Bitch Talk, you know, it's audio, so people aren't seeing. But what I can tell everyone is that Erin, Angela, and I sat on one side of the table, and we're almost like lawyers, like, because we each had our role. Like, you know, I would start off the segment, then Erin would come in with the lead question, then Angela would come in with the next question, then I would come in with my question, and they came from three very different things. But we just had this very cool rhythm in how we came at people.
Mm-hmm. I would say though, our first interview was a little rough because we didn't think about any of it.
And
poor Ange.
Yes. I also am recording audio this year, so that added a whole new twist. And I was like shaking. I put the batteries on wrong.
For the second,
it was
yes.
It was a whole thing. So the first day was a little rough. Oh, and I didn't have a voice. Let's talk about that.
We landed here, and the next we didn't do anything. Right? We didn't do anything Thursday, did we? No. And then Friday, she wakes up with basically no voice. So I don't know what was happening.
Well, she had a voice. It was just like a Deborah Winger, Bonnie Tyler kind of thing.
Painful. So I'm sorry. There's going to be three interviews that were rough on the ears.
I think your voice had character.
It's so nice of you, John.
And I'm also a publicist.
Correct. Exactly. Fluffer.
We also punked Annie Jeeves, our favorite publicist, into throwing a party. So thank you, Annie, if you're listening.
Oh, that I thought you were talking about punking her with the fake banana. That was asshole move, by the way. I don't even know if John saw that. It was so mean.
I did not see that. I'm glad I didn't.
Annie was so tired.
We have this fake fruit in our condom. And Annie was sitting at our table, like, half asleep. And I was like, here, have a banana. She went to peel it. And she tried, like, a few times.
She really tried.
Until she realized it was plastic.
I'm so glad you told me that. Because I'm staying with Annie. Yeah. So you should
just bring one of those bananas and put it on the counter. I don't think the condo will know.
She's been teasing me relentlessly on a story that I told. And now this, I can get her back for the last few days.
I really was trying.
I actually felt really bad. I thought she would notice right away, but she was really desperate for the banana. She kept trying to peel it.
I just said that's bad juju. It's a little bit bad juju.
Ange, the heart wants what the heart wants. That's all I'm saying.
And also, she gives shit. So, you know, sometimes you get shit. If you give shit.
If you give shit, you get shit.
But we've also had some epic red carpets.
We only had two, actually. So, yes. And they were actually both epic. So,
Who did you have on your red carpet?
So, the first one was for the American Society of Magical Negroes. Mm-hmm. And so, we had the director.
Justice Smith.
The actor, Justice Smith. And then David Alan Greer. Who is a classic. And nobody... Well, John won't know the story, but I've been a fan of David Alan Greer's for a long time. And I used to... I used to be a producer on a morning show in San Francisco. And so when there were comedians coming through on the comedy circuit in the city, I would book them if they would want to wake up in the morning, blah, blah, blah. So David Alan Greer was one of them. And he came in. And one of our anchors, bless her soul, we probably shouldn't have had her paired with him because it was morning. And she's just asking pretty dry questions, as they do, you know. And she was like, so how do you like San Francisco? And I'm going to tell you, she's an Asian woman. Her name's Julie Luck. And he kind of paused and he deadpans. He's like, well, there's a lot of Asians around here. And I was laughing. But I also thought maybe I was going to get fired. So he does not know that story yet. But I'm just a fan of his. And I'm just so glad he's kind of just picking and choosing what he wants to do. It seems like his career is a little more dramatic now. So it was great to see him, but he was hilarious.
He was working hilarious. The line. He was making everyone laugh.
Yes.
And
which made some issues for us. But anyways, remember, there were just people that kept asking more questions and we almost didn't get him. Anyways.
FYI, if you're on a press line, be mindful of everyone. You're not the main character of this story.
You are not on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. Exactly. That's why
there's always one.
That's why on my red carpets, like, I make a big speech at the beginning and... Papa, I won't say the other word. Is very strict on how that carpet goes. But then you also had someone else cool on your other red carpet.
Yes. Then we went to the Greatest Night in Pop's red carpet, and starting from the beginning, we were told that Lionel Richie was not doing any interviews. So we were like, okay, that's fine, but maybe he'll sign Aaron's record. You want to talk about the little altar you had set up for him?
Well, we had a little altar. It wasn't really on purpose, but kind of on purpose. It just came together. Before we came to Sundance, I looked twice. So the first time I looked through my 45s that I still have, I didn't see that we had We Are the World. I thought I had it. I didn't see it. So I kind of gave up. Then Ange came over the night before and we were hanging. I'm like, I think I should look through my 45s just one more time. I'm sure I have it. And I actually looked in the sleeves. I'm like, maybe it's in one of the sleeves. And it ended up being with Do They Know It's Christmas? Which is perfect because they actually talk about that song in the doc. But anyways, it was hiding in there. We actually tried to play it. It's a little bit warped. But I had that. So I brought that. I also had Lionel Richie's 45 of Ballerina Girl. Nobody remembers that song. I do. So I brought that. And then I also have a bag from Lionel's latest concert that he did because my really awesome boss bought it for me when she went. So I just had a little Lionel, as we know him now, Lionel altar. And it worked. It kind of worked. He came over and I showed him the 45 and he didn't freak out, but he was like, what the hell is this? I'm like, it's the original, man. It was mine. I played it a million times when I was like 8 or 9 years old. So... Yeah,
that is awesome beyond awesome. But the two of you also would wear clothes themed to our guests.
I mean, again, not on purpose, but on purpose. I already have shirts that say Hall & Oates on it. I love Huey Lewis in the News. So I technically have two Huey shirts, but we only brought one. And I did bring my Hall & Oates earrings, but I didn't wear them. So I'm already a weird fan. And it worked. It all worked because Lionel, his manager, saw our shirts first. We didn't know it was his manager. And he looked at us. He's like, I like your shirts. And then he started talking about Huey Lewis, which was cute. He's like, oh, we're texting all the time. We're going to see him next week in L.A. I'm like, word. He should be on Bitch Talk. And then, oh. And then the head CEO of Netflix casually walks over and starts a conversation with us. And we were holding our mics and we weren't sure, was this an interview or is he just talking to us? And he was just talking to us. And
it was because of the shirts.
It was because of the shirts. Like he saw the whole thing. Started talking about,
yeah. And they had to call him over because they were taking pictures, you know, for Getty whatever. But he was like busy chatting with us, so they had to call him back.
Yeah. We really missed our chance, though, to pitch him on a podcast network. We're idiots. Like, I looked at Angela, I'm like, we should have at least been like, are you thinking of having a podcast? Anyway.
And then someone else at the table during an interview was fully clad in her Tupac wear.
Oh, for As We Speak, yes.
We have outfits, John.
We want to.
You do. You guys have outfits.
Well, and I'm also Asian today.
Yes, yes.
Only today.
Asian AF.
Only for today. Yes.
Yeah, we like to give them a little. I feel like the filmmakers appreciate it when they see that we went a little extra effort.
They completely do. They absolutely do. And it's awesome. And you know, again, like, you know, I love being grandpa between the two of you.
You know, I think you balance us because we could get a little out of control.
We get a little hyphy. It gets a little.
It's 9 a.m. You know, for 9 a.m. It's a bit.
It's
much.
A lot in your face. But yeah, I mean.
Do you have any favorite interviews that stand out or guests that left a lasting impact?
Well, for me, the very first one, I mean, Alex was just like the best. I just think she's
Thirsty
super
Girl.
Awesome.
Yes.
For Thirsty Girl. And I want to have that film and I want to have her at all my festivals because I just think she's amazing. You know, of course, it's tough for me because some of these films I represented, so I'm going to steer away from mine and be polite in that way. Dosh was another favorite of mine.
Yes.
I was a big fan of Dosh with Radha Mehta's film, and we had Ray Nurasdan as part of that.
We have a funny Dosh story, Aaron and I. We were at the Slam Dance party. Slam Dance is the film festival that coincides with Sundance, and she met them first, the lead, Renu from Dosh. And I came out and I saw her chatting with her and I recognized her right away. And I was like, Dosh, I pronounced it improperly.
We both did.
Yeah. Dosh. I was calling it Dosh.
Dosh.
But we completely bonded with her and her husband. We had a good conversation. And then later that evening, the mother-in-law from the short film sat next to us and we had a good conversation with her as well. So it was,
and then we met the director.
And then we met the director, so it was meant to be that we were going to meet all of them, and that was definitely one of the most beautiful shorts that we watched this time around.
Yeah. Realm of Satan was just, that's just fun. That's just.
But also the interview was fun.
He's a
cool dude.
Yeah, Scott Cummings.
And his style is very unique, and Aaron and I are going to fill out our forms.
Yeah.
Become
Satanists. I'm half joking. Like, if I'm going to join a religion, I think it's going to be Satanism.
You know, we had so many films kind of touched on spirituality or religion.
There were a lot of connections.
Mm-hmm. And I've got to tell you, so funny story. So I'm in a weird place. So my wife, Justina, her birth mom passed. And so we had a bunch of guests and we're all talking about, and they got on the topic of spirituality and religion and what have you. And the first one that was asked was me, and I said, this is it. This is all we got. After this, we're done, and there's nothing left, so take care of everybody the best you can, and you know, and because this is it. There ain't nothing after this. And the very next person was saying, well, I actually kind of, and every single other person had a spirituality thing. I was going, well, why did I have to go first? I'm the asshole.
You're the asshole, exactly.
I'm the atheist asshole, and everybody else is either religious or has a spirituality thing. But of course, I had to go first, so I couldn't like temper that after I heard everyone.
Correct. Yes.
But there's something to be said about this is the only chance we have, so make it the best you can. I think that pushes you to become an even better person than saying, well, if I fuck up this time, I have redemption in the next life.
Well, exactly.
You know, you could kind of flip it like
that. Well, you know, you hope people will take it that way, because that is the way I feel, that you take care of everybody the very best you can and do whatever you can, you know, because you got this ride and that's it. But it was pretty hilarious. And I kept thinking about that for each one of these films, that we would talk to somebody and I was going, keep your mouth shut. Just keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. I was going to say the death tour was really, that was a fun interview.
Yes.
Who knew that Chris Jericho was going to be such a ham bone a little bit? I mean, yeah. I guess we knew, but we didn't know. But how involved he really is in this project.
So super enthusiastic, yes, about the filmmaking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because you go, listen, cliche wise, could have been a meatball. Right? Yeah.
You never know what to expect.
But he was wonderfully effusive in talking about filmmaking.
And the storyline about the indigenous folks. I was like, good, he's smart and he's getting it. But that was one of my favorites. It was fun. And of course, Bitcoin Car. But you'll hear that, or you've listened to it already. I don't know. But I don't know what it was about that interview, but
we have a lot of plans for the future now because
I'm moving in with that guy, and my husband's just gonna have to get over it. He's either coming or he's not. I don't know. I'm moving to Norway or wherever the hell he is.
Just sell your husband on the goats.
Yeah, I mean, he's sold. It's fine. It'll work out.
I know, because of conversations that, you know, the dog can't come in the bedroom, but goats, baby goats.
We also, for those of you listening, we've had a couple of interviews of listeners of ours, which is really special.
You guys have fans.
I know, it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird, but it was really fun to speak with.
Yes.
From Welcome to the Enclave, we had director Sarah Lasley and talent Brenna Paluji. And also from Restorage, we had two listeners that we didn't know about, Caleb Davis and Ian Verdugo. So thanks y'all for coming on the show and for listening. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of fun chatting with you.
Yeah. I don't know if I have any final thoughts.
Well,
I mean, it's not even over just yet.
Other than being tired.
So who knows what could happen tonight? I know it's going to happen. It's hot tub today,
time machine.
Like maybe within the next hour.
Well, sorry. Let me just say And So It Begins, obviously.
Oh,
we ended it just a few minutes ago with And So It Begins, director Ramona Diaz, and with Maria Ressa and ex-vice president of the Philippines, Lenny Robredo. And that was just surreal.
I mean, we ended with a Nobel Prize winner.
Correct. I know.
And a former head of state.
Yes.
On Bitch Talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was.
And Films Gone Wild. I mean, that's just wild. Let me say this. I'm absolutely grateful that I have you two. And I'll keep it simple, but you guys are great. And it's a big deal.
Thanks a lot, John.
We feel the same way, John.
Fuck! God damn it!
We didn't say we were going to do that. Same. You make this experience so much.
And thank you for taking us in again 6 years ago. Serious. You could have been like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Well,
I don't want these bitches from, who do they think they are, from San Francisco coming into this fucking thing.
We're journalists too.
Yeah, we watch movies too.
Do you do whiskey with yours too? But we were actually on our good behavior that first year. So you didn't know
really
what you were getting into.
We were so stressed out.
Yeah.
Oh, so 69 stressed.
69 movies. We had no fucking option.
No, never again. I'm sorry. Hashtag never again. I can never do that ever again.
But
only,
yeah.
Only 25 to 30 per yep. festival. Yep.
I mean, so much more. Every interview had a life of its own.
Yeah.
But yeah, this really flowed so beautifully. And
they came to us.
They came to our house, and
that was a game changer. Well, John had to come to us too. Sorry, John, but you know,
it's all worth it.
But we got a good groove going, so let's see you next year.
Okay, so everybody,
I don't know how to wrap it.
Everybody, listen to these, and then 2025.
Correct.
Ooh, mama. Okay, bye, y'all.
Hot tub time.
Thanks for joining us on today's show. You can find more information about this episode in our show notes.
If you're missing us, you can visit us at bitchtalkpodcast.com to sign up for our newsletter and buy us a cup of coffee.
Did you know we're also on the radio? You can find us at BFF.fm.
And lastly, rate and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All the cool bitches are doing it.
This podcast is a proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.